Good. What is it?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, I can't see.
I know it is tough, isn't it?
So going into this, did you have sort of a specific vision for how you wanted to realize it?
Yeah, no, I had a specific take on it, and I did a page one rewrite on the script, so I'd really had to be specific and figure it out before I went into it.
Is that vision true to how it has been realized now?
Yeah. Hopefully. No, but my take was to, and my concept was really, my approach was to create this alternate Regency world where this pandemic had happened, and then to stage Pride and Prejudice in it. And that's what I went for, to be as true to that as possible.
Mm-hmm. Had you seen any of the different versions that were written before you got a hold of it?
Yeah, I did.
Did you read them on, and did much of that come into your version?
No.
Russell or
no. Mine was really, and even to get the job, you have to come in with the take. That,
how do you get the job?
Cunning and connivance. No, but this is what happens with these books or projects, and they get very close to getting made, and then they lose their momentum, and then they're kind of stuck. And then in a lot of cases, there'll be money against them, and it becomes, I mean, Confederacy of Dunces, case in point.
Think it's going to happen at this
no,
time? I don't know.
No. Or Secret History. Yeah, no, there are a lot of these. So it came in with a different take, did the rewrite, and then it started gaining momentum. And different people, we were able to cast it. Basically, I hijacked the project.
It was great. I saw it last night.
Thank you very much.
Were you a fan of the dead books? Did you read much of Seth's stuff? Or
no, I hadn't. What I was really aware of was having walked into bookstores when there still were bookstores, mm-hmm. and the cover art, which was such a great catch, was just this very, this Regency lady with the jaw missing right. But that was it, right? It was just sort of, everything was right, except this one thing was tweaked, and that's kind of, what the way I approach this.
Yeah.
What do you feel like the film says about gender identity or the way men and women relate to each other?
I think it's amplifying the themes that are in Pride and Prejudice. But now not only are the Bennett sisters, Liz specifically, the most formidable intellectually, but physically as well. So you're seeing it in a more demonstrative way.
Mm-hmm. It's like adding a layer to the feminism that was already in the book. It's like...
It is. It's taking it another step, but still being true to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of actors turn directors. Put themselves in the film. Are you in it anywhere?
No, this would have been the one to do it, though, with the zombies, right? To have a zombie cameo. I'd be too self-conscious. I don't know how people do that.
Yeah,
no.
I didn't recognize you in there, though.
Yeah, no. No, it's an attractive cast. I wouldn't want to spoil that.
Was that? It's perfectly cast. Was that all you? Was it the producers working on it? How did it happen?
No, it was all me. I cast it, but I found the right casting director in London, mm-hmm. and who really? We have this pact. Every role we've got somebody who I really, I didn't feel like we had to compromise on anybody. And I really used. There's an old story about how Coppola cast The Outsiders, how he looked at the cover of Tiger Beat and got sort of all the hot actors of the time.
Oh.
And I wanted to make sure that each of the Bennett sisters, that I was casting leads in each of them. And the great thing about these young English actors is that they all have character chops, that they can all act.
Yeah, both Lily and Bella said that they got the parts without auditioning. What's that all about?
No, nobody. For the most part, I wouldn't have people audition. Oh. I would look at their work. The key thing for me was to have a conversation with them. It's hopefully the right conversation, and then to see if you can collaborate. Now, I knew they could act. I'd seen what they'd done. Very few people. I think some of the greener actor, younger actors had to audition, but very few. You know, I would be up. I would see what they had done before, see what I thought I could get out of them, and then you have a conversation. Like Jack Houston. I mean, we had a conversation about it and about what. How it was going to be done, and Sam as well. I mean, Sam I had been trying to work with for years, but it was really just making sure that they're the right people.
They were.
Yeah. And they got it. I mean, that was the key, because it really is. It's completely a collaboration when you're doing these things.
Visually, what was the biggest challenge in the film? Like, what was the hardest thing to realize?
There were a couple. I mean, technically, when I was going into the zombie POV, it was choosing how things would be processed in a different way once the infection, once they'd become diseased, because I wanted to use that. I wanted to have that up my sleeve, not only. For some of the fight scenes, so I'd have something to cut to if I needed to get around gore for the PG-13. I'd have an interesting visual, which is you're in their head as they're getting pummeled. But just figuring out the specifics. Also to have. In any scene, be able to go into a zombie vision, so all of a sudden there was a zombie POV, so you know that there was a zombie among you. And then also, when somebody's infected, to have when you go into their POV, you realize they're a zombie because you're seeing everything through zombie vision.
Zombie vision.
Well, figuring out that how the brain was tweaked and working and processing things differently and focusing on things differently. But then it was, a lot of it was visually how to put it together and how to augment, because we shot in all the practical, in the estates in England, how to augment them, what it would mean if there'd been 100 years of this pandemic, how they would have been altered, and then to make that. To put that together.
Was it a challenge to figure out how much blood and gore you could have in the film?
It was a challenge negotiating with the MPAA. That's a challenge.
So you probably shot a lot more gore than you were.
I wouldn't say, because there's something about that gets really schlocky, where you're just, it's gore for gore's sake, and that's not scary anymore. I mean, I grew up, the first horror movie I saw was The Exorcist, which scared the bejesus out of me.
Nice.
And I'm from Georgetown, I'm from D.C., so it was particular, or even The Omen.
Yeah.
And these other movies don't. Now it's
gore.
It's just gore, yeah. It's just like gurgling blood and stuff, and it doesn't really scare you anymore. It's so desensitized, and you're not invested in the people that are getting mutilated.
You wanted the PG-13 from the start, or
did it matter? Oh yeah, PG-13 is. A big is a key thing, just as far as getting a bigger audience. So the financiers and everybody sort of is aiming for PG-13, We at one point thought of doing an R version just for America and having the world be PG, whatever the different rating is there.
Oh, what does that say about America?
Well, no, that it would. It was an economic that you would still get the audience in, and also that R means something in America. The teenagers would be more. It would have more. Yeah, more of an appeal to them. but it isn't. There's a lot of gore that just isn't imaginative and isn't well thought out, and you can be so much more frightening. It's so much reductive to just keep the camera on it. It's when you let people imagine, you can go anywhere and be much more frightening.
Are we okay to call this a comedy in your mind?
It's I forget what we called it. We called it a Zom Rom Com action period drum. So that's what we got going on.
I got that on tape.
Yeah, because I am too. Because I doubt I could ever say it again. But Jane Austen's comedic. I mean, she's the mother of all of these things, and her templates used again and again and again.
Yeah. I'm not always looking for a sequel. But I'm really ready for
the sequel.
With finger at the end. How about that last shot, though? Was that a lot little CG, or is that, were there a lot of extras running around in the field there?
Running around in the field on
the
horses as they're running towards.
Shot, yeah.
No, my poor DP. I put him right out there in front of everything. Jack Huston's is really charging. I think it's augmented by some CGI. Extras, but the four horsemen and Jack are really charging, and I was always held the rule of the movie to be the title, which was Pride and Prejudice and Zombie.
Yes.
So if I had just ended on the wedding, it would have been Pride and Prejudice.
We're like,
I had to subvert it. Yeah, somehow.
Loved it. That's what we all want to know. So do they get away with it?
Last question.
What's up next?
I have a few things. I know they always tell you to have it prepared so you can publish.
What would you like to do next?
I have a few projects that I'm working on, and trying to get up and going. It's always just a question of whether you're going to do a studio movie or go back and do an indie and face poverty.
So. Igby Goes Down is one of my favorite.
Thank you
that movie.
Very much. Yeah, but art houses don't exist anymore. It's that those movies in that range don't really get made anymore. But new things come. I mean, Netflix is doing incredible stuff, and different, and TV now is doing incredible things.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thank